Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
New month, same Tigers. Good morning, 97.1, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. You heard Luke Sloan on the updates. We've got our normal Thursday stuff. We'll do the Thursday touchdown, Dear John, Ross Tucker. But we're going to move stuff around and give you guys plenty of time to talk about the Tigers, because we have a lot to say, too. And John, I'll turn to you, because you sent us a text at the end of the game yesterday, and you said, I am so mad.
Well, I'm so mad for a number of different reasons. And I think the one that makes me the most mad is just the in-game decisions that AJ made. And I'm mad because they left, you know, what was it, 1 of 15. They left so many guys on base. And this is not new, right? They did it in game one. They've done it in game two. It's frustrating, especially when 2 days ago, they make an the Guardians make an error in the outfield, and the Tigers make them pay. What happens in game or inning one yesterday? They gave you plenty of opportunity.
Kid making his debut in center field loses the ball.
Yeah, and you can't capitalize on it. So that's just that's one. So it starts out frustrating. You're like, we missed an opportunity. And then it was, it felt like almost every inning, missed an opportunity, missed an opportunity. And then I don't know why, and AJ is the only one that can answer this, and I don't know that we'll ever get the answer. Why do you bring in Troy Melton to face three lefties when you have Brant Herter ready to go? And maybe maybe AJ is looking at it going, well, if I bring in a lefty, they're going to swap out a couple of guys. I don't know the Guardians roster or playoff roster well enough to know that what's going to happen if they make a change at the. What I do know is their starting lineup isn't great in terms of being able to be effective. It's not a great lineup. You got in. I think I'm like a lot of Tigers fans where you're just you can in your mind see all of these reasons why you're mad. And as soon as you start to say one, another one pops in your mind.
Yep.
And then you can't finish a thought. And then another one pops in your mind. But why bring in Troy Melton to face three lefties when you have a left-handed, and you only get two of them?
You already used one in Holden.
So now all of a sudden you go to Brant Herter instead of Troy Melton. And I don't know what happens after that. Maybe the same thing happens. And then I know that you want to defend yanking Riley Green. Riley Green, if you were going to do that last night, that should have happened 30 games ago. Not in this moment where this is the guy that has had a couple of doubles in this series. He is the one that has 36 home runs, 111 RBIs. He's the guy that's supposed to do the job. If you let him go to the plate and it doesn't get done, hey, you played the guys that were supposed to get it done. Instead, you pull him out and you bring in another guy, Jamai Jones, that's had, 130 at-bats this year? And I know his average is better than Riley Green's, but he hasn't been as productive and he hasn't been in as many spots. I just don't know why you do it in that moment.
One thing, I know you got a ton to say. Not using Herter was inconsistent with benching Green. You went to the matchup. You were doing lefty-righty. Why didn't you do it on the mound? You've done it all year on the mound, and they were channeling last year's team a little bit with Holton's performance. So yes. Channeling last year and, you know, chaos, it would have been to use Herter. Yeah. You're gonna take your best player out of the lineup in Riley Green, but then you're going to pitch the non-matchup righty-lefty with a guy who's in his first season, half season.
I have some bad news for people with this Riley Green stuff. He's not the player you guys think he is. I know you just heard him as the best player. He was an all-star. You gave the counting stats, the RBIs, the home runs. He's not the player you think he is. That was loud, the decision AJ made. That's him saying, this guy strikes out too often. We got two on. This guy can't hit lefties. Get his ass out of the game. He's not a complete ball player. And he's right. Statistically, he's right. The guy hit 200 strikeouts. AJ, your manager, cares about the strikeouts. He's got a 620 OPS against lefties. He's not a complete player. He's not the player that should be at the plate against a lefty to drive in the go-ahead runs. And maybe that's like a bit of a humiliation moment for Riley, or a reality check moment for Riley, but also some of these fans too. They didn't pull Aaron Judge out of the game because Riley Green's not Aaron Judge, because he's not a complete hitter. And AJ was loud and clear. He wouldn't say it at the podium after, but that decision tells you everything you need to know about what AJ thinks of Riley Green. Too many strikeouts, platoon player.
Okay, but why this moment? Why not 30 games ago,
I agree,
or
with that,
earlier in the season when the strikeouts are continuing to ramp up, and the moments where he's in there and you're hoping that there's a moment? Like, I get the 36 home runs, but it doesn't make any sense to do it in game two of the wild card series.
I've also seen people say, well, he left in Karp the day before against the lefty. Why not leave Green in? Different situations. Nobody was on base for Karp in game one, so you're going to save the bat for later. I don't see a point in saving Green's bat for the ninth. You need to grab the lead. They had so many chances to grab the lead. He thought, hey, I'm playing to win right now with the best matchup. That's true to form of who they are. If you wish they had more everyday players, so do I. They don't have a good enough roster. So AJ made the decision to put the best matchup out there. It did not work. I don't think AJ had a great day, because I don't understand the Melton thing.
Yeah.
You know? And I look at Casey Mize, and he blinked first. He pulled Mize in the fourth, which then put more pressure on him to get every single bullpen decision right, and he didn't. So this is not me defending AJ. I think he was telling us something we don't want to hear about Riley Green.
Well, I don't necessarily know that we disagree with that. I think the question is, or the reasoning is, why now, when he's been an everyday bat for you up until the playoffs?
Right.
Like, that makes no sense. It just doesn't make any sense when you've got a guy that has led the team in RBIs, led the team in home runs, and led the team in strikeouts.
Yep.
None of that has changed over 162. Like, that is who Riley Green is. And now all of a sudden in the playoffs, you're going to pull who some would deem your best hitter?
So you would say you would have felt better if Riley struck out in that spot instead of Jamai Jones, because at least you went down with Riley.
Yeah.
And I would rather go down with the matchup, because I think it's more true to who they are as a baseball team.
I just don't understand. And this is where I'm not disagreeing with you. And I don't want people to think that I'm disagreeing. It's just what I disagree with is this is who Riley Green has been through the entirety of the season. And we all talked about this issue before the All-Star break, during the All-Star break, after the All-Star break, and Riley Green has even come out and said, no one cares about the strikeouts. Really? Really?
AJ does.
I don't understand why this is the moment that you decide to make that decision.
I honestly think he got caught up in the moment. And he wanted the game so bad because it was all square.
Yep.
And he had a chance to advance.
Eighth inning tie game.
And he started making decisions that he typically wouldn't make. He overmanaged really from the get-go once you got with Mize. Mize coming out early is why you got Melton.
Correct.
Like, Holton could have gone into the seventh if you would have trusted Mize. He didn't trust two All-Stars yesterday.
Yeah.
And instead he trusted matchups
and said he trusted a rookie in Melton and a bench player in Jamai Jones. So people are all fired up and worked up about this. I think the other point is vote out managed him. When AJ first went to Tyler Holton, and I knew that'd be the first guy off the bench because Cleveland stacked lefties and you go lefty, lefty. Vogt didn't blink because it was the fourth inning. He's like, well, I'm not going to panic. You only have a couple lefties in your pen. Right. I'm going to keep my lefties in and wait out Holton. And he did, and it paid off. Vogt outmanaged AJ Hinch in that game. There's no doubt about that.
I say that, though, but at the end, I think Vogt messes up keeping in Cade Smith. And looking ahead, that might be a favorable thing for the Tigers today.
Yeah, but he's also managing knowing... No matter who I put out there, the Tigers, even if they would, they have six walks. They got guys on base, but they're not going to be able to knock them in. They don't have bats that can sit there and say, I can get a single right now.
He shouldn't have kept Cade Smith in for 31 pitches. Is my point.
I would agree with that. I think he also was saying, I'm not leaving anything to chance. Let's get to tomorrow, and I know the Tigers can't hit us. Really, this thing started in the first when the Tigers got two on, no outs in the first, and they go heart of the order, strikeout. Riley Green strikeout to end that inning. So then in the eighth, AJ's like, I'm not going to do deja vu. Riley strikes out too often. We got two on. I'm going to put a guy in who I trust to get a knock here. I don't trust Riley Green. That's the headline. He didn't trust Riley Green. And the numbers would back that you shouldn't trust Riley Green in that spot, which is why I think it's so damning. But it gets people worked up.
Well, and, I mean, yeah, okay. And we can go right on down the list of McKinstry trying to go from second to third. Like, I just don't understand that, because the only thing that could prevent a run from being scored isn't the throw out at home. That wasn't going to happen.
If you get thrown out somewhere else on the
somewhere
bases.
Else. Yeah. And so why are you doing that at that point? And I understand, hey, we have talked about this is an aggressive team on the bake pass. They're always trying to take that extra 90. But you have to be able to manage and make decisions in the moment and know that there's two outs.
AJ's going to get a lot of heat, deserves some heat. You're already bringing it this morning. I know the ticket techs and the calls will do it, and he should. But the reason they lost this game is 1-for-15 runners in scoring position. By the way, 7 strikeouts in those at-bats. Only 3 of those at-bats, the ball left the infield. That's a collective. That's not one decision by the manager. That's a team that for the second game in a row, actually, sorry, fourth playoff game in a row, going back to the end of last year, can't drive in guys. Needed to add a quality bat. It's almost like if you run out the same underachieving bunch from the last two games of last year's playoffs into this year's playoffs, you're going to get the same result. John, for those 4 games, 4 of 46 runners in scoring position. You'd be better off with a pitcher hitting at that point. That's a 100 batting average. Think about it. You'd rather have Scherzer or Verlander holding the stick from yesteryear than these collection of guys with runners in scoring position in the game on the line. They invited Cleveland into that game from the first inning to the eighth inning. AJ blinks first. His guys can't deliver collectively. And you were just waiting. Like, we're all waiting. Like, Cleveland's going to score at some point.
Right.
At some point, and then once they did, the floodgates opened. And suddenly a Tigers team that was favored in game one, won game one, is now in danger of being eliminated and blowing an advantage position, not only in the regular season, but once again now in the postseason. So, you know the number. We're going to talk to Tiger fans. 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel, because with FanDuel's Thursday Touchdown Jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you'll win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Must apply profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Needed to put the ball in play, which means I can't keep Riley Green in the game. Look, he's not going to come out and bash his all-star, but he said it all with that decision. And it didn't work out. Jamai Jones struck out. They had two on, tie game, trying to win it right there. And Riley's not the guy you want at the plate, which is a damning statement about a guy who's an all-star.
Well, it's a damning statement by the manager. It's an admission, but it's something that, I mean, we've talked about all along, is when you keep racking up these strikeouts, and even in a position where I don't care how many outs you have on, unless it's, you know, obviously two, if you can have a quality out.
Right, fly ball, sack fly.
Yeah.
Score a run, find a way.
And you're just not likely to get that. It's boom or bust Riley Green.
Well, and again, the numbers, and people don't want to hear him because Riley Green's a bigger name. 218 with a 620 OPS against lefties. Jamai Jones, 288 with a 970 OPS, including some big moments late in the season. Texter says, I would have felt better with Riley instead of Jones. Another text says, if you're pulling Green in that situation, why not bunt like they did the day before?
Right.
Squeeze, well, find a way.
Yeah. I mean, there were other times where you got runners on first and third. And if you're willing to pull out all the stops for one game, which you did in game one, why not have that as part of the game plan in the second inning, the first inning? It doesn't. Why do you have to wait till the eighth or ninth to just manufacture a run?
We mentioned yesterday getting the lead was going to be big. That game stayed locked up. Kinstry gets thrown out at third base. They would have played with the lead, but it stays tied for a long time because the Tigers couldn't break through. 1 of 15 runners in scoring position, 15 left on base. Now 2 of 23 for the series. They've scored 3 runs total, 2 of which were unearned. Like, they've done this to themselves. They've invited Cleveland into the game, into the series, and now they're staring down, blowing another advantage. Let's get to the phones. Let's get to Theo in Detroit. Theo, good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
Well,
go blue, John.
Go blue.
My issue, I got a lot of issues, but this is just an issue that I have with the Tigers. This is the second time that they have had a runner slide past a base. I think Winsdale slid past home earlier in the year and got tagged out, and now McKinstry slid past third with his right hand. If his right hand tagged the base, he's safe. He slid past the base with his right hand, got tagged on the helmet and the shoulder before his left hand tagged. But if his right hand tagged the lead hand, he's safe. I don't understand why we slid past bases.
Well, I don't either, and I know that this has been an aggressive team all season long. I don't even know why McKinstry is trying to go from second to third. Dylan Dingler's going to score. He's going to get you the lead. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, you don't have anything.
Ticket text. Guys, for them to have a chance in the postseason, Mize had to be a guy and Green had to be a guy. Both were taken out with still a chance to help this team. This one says, fire AJ, the asterisk manager.
No, I mean, the reason that they're here, the reason they're even in the postseason is because of some of the things AJ Hinch was able to do during this season. If you want to, I have waited. I'm not going to call for anybody's job. I don't do that until the season's over. There's going to be plenty of time to talk about who should be here, who should not be here next year. And it all starts in the front office.
Guys, how many times do I have to see Torque swing and miss or pop up? Give Jahan a chance. At least he's given me a good at-bat. The reason he took out Green, he's not clutch. He didn't trust him. He went with a matchup. It didn't work out. That's okay. I think he put the best foot forward, and it's a wake-up call to Riley, Chad, in a truck. See, I agree with that guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do too. But we don't have – name one guy other than Skubal that has the clutch gene.
That's the problem with this team. You're right. I mean, Javi, a little None. Bit in this postseason.
Right, but are you going to gamble on Javi making contact?
No, but I –
Okay, I'll give you Javi.
All right.
I agree. I think he does have the clutch gene. Now, it doesn't happen enough in the regular season.
Right.
But he has come up big in the posts. Well, big-ish.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of singles. But, hey, it's putting the ball in play. They're not always pretty, but he's doing the thing.
But think how sad that is. You're talking about, okay, we got one pitcher who's going to pitch once every five games, once a series, and now all of a sudden the next guy that has a clutch gene is Javi Baez.
Javi has always had a knack. He knows when the lights are on.
Right.
He has a playoff history from his past
cities. I'd lead him off today.
Why not? I mean, you bench your best player. I mean, anything's in the cards, right?
Well, you'd think so. Season on the line, 3 o'clock today. Heads up, not a 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock first pitch against the Guardians. Our coverage is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You definitely can't count on certain players with the game on the line at the plate, but you can count on Paramount Plus local NFL games. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Heather with the news.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, the two men charged with killing a Rochester Hills jeweler and then ransacking his home while also holding the wife hostage have two very different defenses. So the trial has started. I think the opening statements were on Tuesday. The trial began on Wednesday. Well, one man claims that he was falsely identified as a participant in the crime.
He wasn't there.
It wasn't even me. That's not me on that Ring doorbell camera. And then the other admits that he was there at the home, but claims the plan was never to commit murder and that he didn't participate in it. But that was him on the doorbell camera. So he is saying, yes, he was there, but he was not the one that participated in the murder. So very different takes. Obviously, they've both been charged with first-degree murder, two counts of unlawful imprisonment in connection with this man's death. He was found dead in the basement. And you'll remember they were posing as DTE Energy employees when they showed up at the home, said they needed to check on this gas leak. The husband led them into the home, into the basement to show them the gas hookup. And that's when everything took place. So the trial is on. Quite interesting, for sure. A Bloomfield Township man has been charged after his wife's decomposing body was found right there on their couch during a welfare check. So a concerned neighbor called the police last weekend after the couple apparently just kind of seemed to have disappeared. They didn't really see much of them, so concerned, right? Well, when officers showed up at the house, they found the husband holed up upstairs in the bedroom, surrounded by knives. It took a while, but he did eventually surrender, didn't say a word to police when he finally came out. And investigators believe that the wife had been dead on the main level for at least 2 months.
Ooh.
Yes. Now, police
did she die?
Not sure yet. Yeah. They haven't released that. They are calling her death suspicious. Clearly so, but they're not clear how she died. Obviously, there's going to be an autopsy performed and things like that. But the husband has been charged with failure to report a death or concealing a death. There could be more charges on the way once more is found out. Northville will have to clear out all of its downtown on-street dining by Saturday evening. They don't have much time to do that. This comes after a judge on Wednesday ruled that closing down two downtown streets for dining violated an earlier order. So basically the restaurants are on Main Street and Center Street. They have to clear off the cement barricades that they have blocking like the parallel parking spots. Those things get everything off the main road. The city of Northville did release a statement. They said, while we respectfully disagree with the court's decision, the city will comply fully with the ruling. They went on to say the city will have to temporarily shut down the streets to remove the concrete barriers that are in place as safety precautions for on-street dining. So So some people are looking at this as a huge bummer. They were really, I mean, in the restaurants, I'm sure, as well. And then there's people who are part of that Let's Open Northville group that are very excited about this. This is a big win for them. So two very different opinions there.
It's getting heated.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Heather with the news. We're going to stay on the Tigers for most of the show, but coming up next, it's the Thursday touchdown, a little football appetizer. It's 97.1.
Hey, it's Heather, and if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for a low price of just $50 a month when you switch and bring your phone on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead, take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credit supplied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
All righty, so no Michigan, Michigan State last week, so there's really nothing to talk about much with them. But we have a lot something to talk about in the Big Ten, and the fact is the Big Ten has the top two ranked teams in the country with Ohio State and Oregon. Would you take the Buckeyes and the Ducks versus the field to win the national championship right now?
Well, I mean, the easy answer is no, because you want the options of all the other teams and all the wild things that can happen. But I would even take Ohio State out of the equation and say I would take Oregon over the field, because you have something that seems to rarely happen in college football right now. You got Dante Moore, who sat in the system last year behind Dylan Gabriel, learned, and now all of a sudden you're seeing not a freshman, not a first-time guy, because he had time when he was at UCLA. I think it's Oregon, and some of it has to do with Dan Lanning. I just trust Dan Lanning more than I trust Ryan Day, Mario Cristobal, Lane Kiffin, Brent Venables. Like and certainly James Franklin.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of what they're doing in Oregon. You're giving me Ohio State on top of it? Yes, I would take them over the field. SEC who?
Well, this would then be, you're both saying, a third consecutive Big Ten national champion.
Yes. I'll say again, SEC who?
Well, speaking of them, the SEC has 10 teams ranked in the top 25. Who's the best team in the SEC?
Look, this is a really tough question, and it could change week to week. Right now, I would tell you it's Alabama. They have the most impressive win at Georgia. I would take the Tide.
And they got trucked by Florida State, who then lost to Virginia.
I'll say again, SEC who?
Yeah, because then you look at Texas A&M. I mean, they don't have any losses, but they've beaten Notre Dame and Auburn. But what do those mean, really? Because Oklahoma handled Auburn. They obviously handled Michigan, but they don't have John Mateer for how long? Ole Miss, do you really trust Lane Kiffin? I mean, okay, big win over LSU, but I guess I got to say Alabama too. As much as I can't discount the loss to Florida State, it just, they're playing the best right now.
It's not going to hurt them in conference, right? That's the other thing.
Yeah. A bonus point on this one. How many times do you guys think I can ask this question this year?
Oh, you could ask the same question next week. You could almost ask it weekly.
We won't do that. All right, Tom Brady has been quite critical lately about the current state of college football and what it's doing to quarterbacks in terms of entering the NFL. Do you think college quarterbacks are as unprepared as ever to enter the NFL?
I think everyone is as unprepared as ever because of the way that they've pulled back on all the practice. And yeah, I know there's a lot of things that go into the quarterback situation. I think Dante Moore is going about it the right way. He did transfer, but he did some playing time. As I mentioned, he sat behind Dylan Gabriel. He's actually developing. You're not having players develop. And I'm gonna get away from the quarterback just a little bit, but if you have some of these college players, skilled position, and I'd throw an offensive lineman unless you're elite like Penei Sewell, when you go to the NFL, if you have an organization that is willing to be patient with you, how many times have we asked the question of Dan Campbell, are you going to play Amon-Ra St. Brown more as a rookie? Are you going to play Jahmyr Gibbs more as a rookie? Are you going to? When are we going to see Tesla more as a rookie? Jack Campbell, J-Mo. Now, J-Mo was hurt, but we wanted to see more of him. Like, they're patient. They're developing their rookies because they have to.
Specifically with quarterbacks, yes. We have a lot of dumbed-down offense where sometimes the coaches are making the calls from the sideline. There are not a lot of second and third reads. And you're right, there's not a lot of chemistry in the system with the transfer portal. So these guys are as unprepared as they've ever been.
Yeah, and you just see what's happening with Cam Ward right now. And it's like, why is he playing? Why didn't they get a vet and just let him sit and watch? And that we'll get to them later. That organization turned into a train wreck right now. All right, Monday night, our Lions Review show was debating Amon-Ra St. Brown and who he best compares to at wide receiver. Who do you guys think St. Brown compares to?
So I used to say Hines Ward because of the blocking and the unselfishness and kind of the workmanlike attitude. But St. Brown's a better player than Hines Ward. So I think it's a combo of Ward and Steve Smith. That feisty, competitive, not a big body receiver, but a highly productive two-time All-Pro. I think that's the comp.
So it's really hard to find one guy, right? And so I'm going to go kind of the same thing. I had... uniquely enough, those two guys, I'll throw in another one because what's unique about Amon-Ra St. Brown is he's a smaller receiver. So can you really say, you know, Randy Moss? No, because he's not the same, but his numbers are very similar. I'm going to throw in a mix of Hines Ward, Steve Smith, and Larry Fitzgerald.
I like that. Because reliable, dependable.
He doesn't drop balls. When there's a drop, you're like, oh my gosh. Is Amon-Ra St. Brown okay? Is he healthy? Does he have a hand? Like, that is the mentality you have. And Larry Fitzgerald is famous for never dropping balls.
Yeah, good one. I like it. The guys actually came up with, they were searching, and it took them a while to get Smith and Hines Ward. I've always said Hines Ward, but I agree with you, Jimmy. I think St. Brown's a better route runner.
Yep.
The Ravens are 1-3 and have given up 133 points. However, they are still the betting favorite to win the AFC North. Will the Ravens win their division?
I still think so because I don't trust Pittsburgh, although Pittsburgh's not playing a first-place schedule, but they will play each other twice, and I still think the Ravens are the better team. I think they'll eventually get it right. And now some of it just depends on how long Lamar Jackson is out. Can they win a couple of games without him? But I think that they do win the division. Now, this may be a division where it's only 9 wins.
That's kind of my read. Steelers aren't going to run away with this. The Ravens still have 5 more games in division. Lamar's not season ending. They're going to win this division.
Just saying the Steelers can go, what, 7-5 and get to 10 wins? So, I don't know, man. Ravens better pick it up very quick here.
Yeah, but I mean, when you look at the schedule, I know they got the Bengals, but the Steelers play the Packers. They play the Chargers. They play the Bills. They've got the Ravens, obviously, twice. They play the Lions, as we know. They end the season with the Ravens. That last game could come down to who wins the division.
All right, Green Bay and Dallas tied last Sunday. We all got a chuckle out of it because we all hate those two teams very much. But come on, man. What is the NFL doing here still having ties? This is a sport of the toughest men in the world. And this is we settle with a tie?
The tie is not satisfying. You go to a game to have a winner and a loser. I think you should start by playing a full 15 minutes in overtime so that you have a better chance that someone wins it. And if not, I hate this. I would go to the 2-point conversion off before I'd leave in a tie. A tie,
I would too, and I hate that.
Nobody likes a tie.
I don't go to the 2-point conversion. I make it 15 minutes, and if you don't, then you play another 15 minutes. And maybe that second one is, since everybody's had their chance, everybody's had a couple of possessions, that second one is, hey, first one scores, wins.
Would you guys be up for eliminating field goals in OT?
Yeah. Got to go
so
for it.
You got to go for two, and you either punt or you go for it on fourth down?
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, some of those cool rules I would put in the second overtime.
Okay. Finally, I had said we were going to get to the Titans. They are 0-4. They've been outscored 120-51. That's the worst in the league point differential-wise, which is minus 69. Will the Titans become the first team to go 0-17?
No. I mean, they definitely have that possibility. But, I mean, when you look at their schedule, somebody is going to have a bad day.
And
Jags.
Browns. Saints.
Yeah. They play the Saints the second to last game of the year. The Jags, the last game of the year. I mean, who knows what the 49ers are at that time. They've already been riddled with injuries. I don't think that they go 0-17.
Defense isn't terrible. You catch someone napping, and if they do fire Callahan, there may be the fired coach bump, and they steal one or two they're not supposed to. Plus, Cam Ward might look like a different quarterback in December than he looks like right now.
Yeah, but the problem is they don't have anyone to go to, because Will Levis, as much as he's not the answer, he's on season-ending IR.
Right, but John, you always say you have the right to get better.
Well, you do, and I think Cam Ward will be fine. But you know they're not going to make the switch and go to Brandon Allen.
No, I don't think that will happen or should happen.
No, he does have the opportunity to get better. The problem that they have is normally if you like the Browns, all right, bad offense, really bad offense. They're making a change at quarterback, but at least they have a really good defense. The problem with Tennessee is they're bad on both sides. Yeah. And it just snowballs once the game starts.
It's your Thursday touchdown. We'll get back into Tiger baseball talk. It's 97-1. Let's be honest. Nobody plans for a new roof. I don't know anybody that's been squirreling away money for 5 to 10 years to pay for one of these roofs. So it comes at the worst time. You don't have the money set aside, and the cost can feel overwhelming. But it's why I want you to know about Shaner Roofing, Michigan's trusted roofing experts for more than 30 years. Right now, Shaner's making it easier than ever to protect your home with 0% interest financing for 5 years. That means you're not skimping on quality, cutting costs. You can get the quality roof you need without the stress of that big upfront payment that I know you haven't been saving up for. So here's the thing. Shaner's not some fly-by-night company. 4.9-star Google rating. That's thousands of satisfied homeowners who rave about the professionalism, craftsmanship, and customer care. So if your roof's leaking, aging, or if you're just ready for peace of mind, don't wait. Go to MyMichiganRoof.com. That's MyMichiganRoof.com, powered by Shaner Roofing, where quality meets affordability. John, is this as mad as you've been at any of our teams? Because you were fired up yesterday when this one went final.
Yeah. Wow, that's...
And you still are today.
In recent time, yes. Because you think, I mean, you were disappointed in what happened in the postseason last year for the Lions. And disappointed, but your expectations for the Wings have been so low. It's hard to be mad at the Pistons, even though they set a record for the amount of losses, because their expectations were so low. And maybe it's just because I talked myself into the whole Tigers in two, and TIT still works technically because Tigers in three.
Do you believe it, though?
No, I don't. And I'm still hopeful that today somebody's bat is going to find a ball. Like, it can't be this bad for this long, but it is. And when you have so many missed opportunities yesterday, even knowing that this is a team that can't hit right now, and that they were, I heard Dan Dickerson, and I'm not going to get it right, but for the first, I think he said 140 games of the year, they were averaging right around 5 runs per game. Since then, it's been just over 2. And so you keep thinking, well, they're going to be able to get back to where what they were prior to this. Even when the pitching was bad in July, they were still making some contact. And then in August and September, the bats just totally evaporated. I don't know what happened or
well,
and it's I understand July 31st is the trade deadline, but the guys that were here, they were hitting before that.
They were overachieving.
But
they're not that good.
And
the only one who didn't realize it was the guy running the team.
So, yes, if you go out there and you get a Eugenio Suarez, and I know that his average hasn't been good. I was all over that, right? You know, hey Costa, the right-handed bat that you wanted, the third baseman. But when he made contact, if you just get one or two more wins and all you were looking for yesterday is a bat, and you could go with somebody whose last name starts with a C 2 years ago. Could he have provided a hit in the moment? Somebody whose name that starts with a B that could have been a key at
a
bat.
A veteran proven commodity in the postseason. Look, this isn't even about the deadline. It's about last offseason too, because we did this show already. The last two games against Cleveland to close the 2024 season, they were 2 of 23 runners in scoring position and flamed out. Guess what they are in games 1 and 2 this year, runners in scoring position against the Guardians? 2 for 23. They did it again. They ignored it again. We're in the same place again. Yeah, that's frustrating.
And even if you had, and part of the problem I have with AJ taking out Riley Green is, first of all, it should have happened way earlier in the season. How many times did we ask about Spencer Torkelson? And this is, you know, going back to last year to AJ, and he would talk about, well, maybe the next, you know, the next thing is for him to sit next to me, and then it's down to AAA. Well, Riley Green has been striking out at a near historical rate, but this should have happened 30 days ago, 45 days ago. You do it in a situation where you got to have it. You go to the guys that got you there, and it wasn't Jamai Jones. It was Riley Green. If you had somebody on the bench that had been a former great, that had been a 5 or 6 time All-Star in his career, but he's at the end of his time, but he's been in those moments almost like a Javi Baez, where he's sitting on the bench and you're like, you know what, let's just see if he's got one more moment in him. And I know people said yesterday, they brought up Kurt Gibson, where he hobbles to the plate. He wasn't the player that he used to be, but you don't have that guy that you can bring in. Jamai Jones isn't that guy.
Okay, I want to get as many phone calls as we can get in before the two Grand Slam, 7:25, chance to win a bunch of money. You guys are on hold. We're going to get to you. Just one thing on Riley, because it startled everybody. How do you take out your all-star with 36 homers and 111 runs batted in that you can't take him out of the game? AJ Hinch took out Jake Rogers. Riley Green against lefties is Jake Rogers. 610 OPS for Rogers, 620 OPS for Riley Green. If he took out Jake Rogers yesterday, would anybody be upset? No, but Riley Green hits left-handed pitching like he's Jake Rogers. That was AJ reinforcing the idea that we are a matchup-oriented team. That Riley is not a complete ball player, despite what we may think he is or want him to be. He strikes out a ton. He does not hit left-handed pitching. He's not a complete ball player. Nobody's above the team. Jamai's the better matchup. We're playing the matchup. Well, he didn't do it with Karp the day before. They didn't have two on the day before. This was maybe the best, last, only chance for them to win the game. Well, what if they need Riley in extras? I'm playing to win right now with a runner on third base and one out. I don't trust Riley Green to put the ball in play. That's what he told everybody with his decision. He didn't say it publicly at the microphone, but he said, I don't trust Riley Green to put the ball in play because he's Jake Rogers against left-handed pitching.
But he was Jake Rogers against left-handed pitching back in July.
Valid.
In August.
Valid. But was this the wrong time to make the right decision? Because it's the right decision. It doesn't mean it works out, but the numbers back it as the right decision. It's not the wrong time to make the right decision. Your season's on the line. And I get it. Riley may have hurt feelings. It may have been shocking and stunning to people who've propped Riley up. He's not that complete ball player. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Tony in Ferndale. Tony, what's up?
Hey, perfect timing for me to jump off that, Jim, because I'm not on the boat of being too upset with the Riley Green pinch hitting situation. I mean, we're in a position to close out the series, so go out and close it. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, right? Where I think I'm more frustrated is, why is Casey Mize getting pulled that early in the game, and now we have fried our bullpen for not only today but any future, you know, hopeful series that we have coming up. I mean, I was driving to Cleveland for game one, and I called into Doug and Karsh, and I was fired up. I knew we were going to win game one, Scooble on the mound, but the thing I said was Casey Mize in day two is going to be huge to see if we can have the second reliable starting pitcher going into some future, you know, series coming up here. And we only saw him for how many innings yesterday? Like, well, I don't understand that play, to be honest with you. These guys got to go the distance in starting pitching, especially in these playoff series.
When they pulled Mize, they blinked first.
Yep.
It's a one-run game. Both teams are going to go to their pen much earlier. Who blinks first? AJ thought he could go to Holton and face all the lefties. But then Vogt said, I'm not going to panic. Mm-hmm. I'll wait out Tyler Holton and keep all my lefties in.
Who has the shorter hook in the two games, Mize or Flaherty?
Well,
for me, it's Flaherty. So that's why you let Mize go farther, too. It's just it's a reason to do it. It's just, it was foolish to pull him out. I mean, is Holton available today? I think so.
He might be. Here's the thing I'd say. Pulling Mize there, you could have got away with it if he had played the bullpen better from that point on. I'm not mad about it. Holton made sense. Why is Melton coming in the game to face three lefties when Herter is warmed up and ready? See, AJ could have got away with pulling Mize early if he pulled all the right strings later, and he didn't. It was not a good day for AJ.
No, I don't agree with. I agree with that totally. Yeah. I don't understand why Herter didn't come in. I don't know why you put that pressure on that kid,
on a rookie,
and then but you wouldn't let a guy who had 36 homers this season bat. And I know me and you disagree, and you're not wrong in saying he's borderline Jake Rogers in the moment.
Statistically, but Jake Rogers against left-handed pitching.
Allegedly good players / all-stars, they have to be given that moment.
Yeah.
And you got to see what they do in that moment. Who would you rather have bat, Jim? You'd rather have Jake Rogers come? What if Jake Rogers came in yet?
I'd rather have Jemai Jones than both of them. That was the whole point.
I disagree.
I do too. And he has been in more moments and is more experienced to be able to come through in a moment like that.
But he doesn't.
No. And
he flatlines in all the high leverage moments.
So does every other guy.
Not Jemai. Jemai's actually been kind of clutch for this team. Specific matchups, that's what they've done all year.
The issue I have is, why are you doing this in the, what was it, the seventh inning, eighth inning? Eighth inning of a got-to-have-it game versus 45 games ago, 30 games ago, 20 games ago, even in the last week of the season.
I'll paint you part of the picture. First inning, two on, no out. Kerry Carpenter strikes out. Spencer Torkelson strikes out. Riley Green strikes out. You want to relive that again? Just keep doing it, because you know what this guy's going to do. You're not even going to put the ball in play.
Well, the one thing that we do know, by the end of today, we won't have to watch this awful matchup anymore between Cleveland and Detroit.
Because
nine times in the last, 2 weeks?
It's a lot.
It's just make it end.
And that's
and it will. No matter how it ends, it will end.
Phone calls right out of the update, 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.